the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special. So welcome. Today we're going to speak about how to manage stress in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Saturday, is the 23rd of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, at the beginning of this episode, we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter room, verse 21.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A spouse must be the cause of peace, not the cause of agitation and anxiety. The marriage is not often only satisfying the sexual instinct, but the aim is mostly reaching to spiritual and bodily tranquility. And since the continuation of this relation between spouses in particular and between all human beings in general needs a heartly and spiritual attraction, next to this statement, the Quran adds, "And He, Allah, has set between you love and mercy." Stress is simply a reaction to a stimulus that disturbs our physical or mental equilibrium. In psychology, stress is a feeling of strain and pressure. Stress is usually considered as a bad word, which isn't true at all. There are few myths about stress, which most of us firmly believe in, which aren't true at all. Myths like stress is always bad for us, or its effects are same for everyone, or that stress is something we can do least about. If stress is making you feel motivated and it increases performance, such stress is called eustress, literally meaning a good stress. But if stress is making you feel comfortable and feelings of anxiety arise as a result, decreasing your overall performance, then such stress is called distress, which is a negative stress. Sayyid Saleh Al-Qazwini.
The favorite creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the human being. The human is chosen to surpass all of the other creation. The human is equipped with certain abilities that allow the human being to surpass all of the other creation around him. And we see that there are many features that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that differentiate and distinguish the human being from the animals. For example, one thing they say is the thumb. The thumb, the primates have the thumb. Other animals don't have that. You know how much blessing it is to have just a thumb? You're able to write, you're able to use tools, you're able to pick up things, you're able to use a spoon. So many things we're able to do just because of one finger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being. This is just one of the extra blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being. Now, when we see that the human has been given all of these blessings, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, in the best form, you would expect the human to live a stress-free life. You would expect the human to live a life of bliss where there's no troubles, no stress, no depression, no psychological, no physical problems, because you are created in the best form possible. Is that the case? No. You see that many humans and many people, they are suffering from all kinds of diseases, all kinds of troubles. And the worst of which are the mental diseases, the inner diseases.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We'll look at the ways to lower your daily stress. Exercise regularly. This is one step. Exercise is one of the most effective treatments against stress. Not only does it reduce stress levels, but it can also reduce fatigue, improve concentration levels, and the physical ability to fight disease. Research shows that doing exercise in the morning on an empty stomach has a greater impact than at other time. If you feel a lack in energy, you can eat a few dates to stabilize your blood sugar level. Exercising every morning for 20 or 30 minutes is a great way to start your day. There are many different types of exercise to choose from, so do whichever is suitable and enjoyable for you.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan.
We're speaking about stress, now conditions which cause stress. Psychiatrists have identified some 50 stressors. In fact, any change, good or bad, is stressful. A change in job or job description, in a school, resistance, financial status, loss or gain of family member or close friend, injury or illness, natural calamity, or news of riot or violence, all can be extremely stressful. Muslims living in a non-Muslim society may acquire some additional stress too. These may include such factors as preserving their identity, practicing Islam, that is in food matters or timing of prayer, defending Islam on a hostile media, and settling conflicts between family members, the spouse, parents, child, and practicing, and of course, non-practicing factions.
Someone could be sick, they have a physical sickness, they go to the doctor diagnoses them, and he gives them a medication, and this person goes home. Either this person is cured or is not. But when we have a personal disease, a disease that is in the soul, can that be healed? Can the doctor even know if I have that kind of problem, if I'm living with stress, if I have depression, if I have these problems? It's very difficult to, first of all, diagnose and come and find out that this person has these problems. And second, it's very difficult to find a cure. Because the inner diseases, these troubles and the stress and anxiety and the restlessness, these are things that are very difficult to come and find out that this person has that. And second, it's very difficult to cure. And you see that many people who have these internal diseases, sometimes someone is sick, they don't hurt others around them. But then you find that there's another group, when they are sick, when they're not feeling well, they make it bad for everyone around them. And it creates a very difficult environment for people to live around that person and interact with that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the diseases of the heart. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقُلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فإنها لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. Allah says it's the hearts that go blind. It's not the eyes that go blind. Maybe you find someone, their eyes do not see very well, but this person is still on the right path because their heart sees the right direction. But the worst disease, the worst tragedy that could fall upon a person is when their hearts are blind. When you keep showing this person the way, you keep helping this person, and you see that this person, their hearts will not accept the hidayah. They will not accept to get on the straight path.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us contemplate on a wise aphorism from Imam Ali, peace upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. If you want to pray to Allah for better means of subsistence, then first give something in charity.
Mm-hmm. Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihi al Tayyibin al Tahirin al Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Knowledge is something that we all desire, we all want, and sometimes we even take pride in having it. That's a different discussion altogether. But there's something very important when it comes to the search and the seeking of knowledge. And it's also a fundamental, you know, ethical point for the person who is seeking it to understand. And that point can be, you know, quite clearly seen in this tradition that we will mention today. That how a person should act when it comes to the searching of knowledge. And how he should see his own knowledge. This is also important. So in this tradition, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the most knowledgeable of people, the a'lamun nas, that person who has the most knowledge, is he who adds other people's knowledge to his own. Now here there are two important points that we would like to draw our dear listeners' attention to. One, that this person who seeks knowledge, in order for him to take other people's knowledge and add it to his own, he has to first realize that he is not, or he does not contain or not possess all the knowledge. That he is not arrogant. He understands that there are certain things he does not know. He understands that he is ignorant regarding certain things. Therefore he goes and finds out that maybe this person knows this. Maybe this person knows that. And he goes and he finds out and he adds it to his own knowledge. this is an important point to understand, that when you are seeking knowledge, do not think that you know everything or you are know-it-all, as it said. No. Other people also know things. Go and get it from them. And this leads to the second point, that the knowledge that other people have is also worth knowing. Therefore, if it is worth knowing, it is worth adding. And therefore, we understand that as you add to your knowledge increases, and therefore you will know that you can go and get from other people who at first you may not have been able to understand and get knowledge from them. So these are two important points to understand. One, do not be arrogant. Do not think you are know-it-all. Because if that is the case, what are you adding? You have nothing to add. Second, other people also have knowledge. They also have worth. And the knowledge that they have, and the worth of knowing that, and the worth of knowing that knowledge which they have, is also extremely important for us to understand in order for us to become, or any person who wishes to become, the most knowledgeable of people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice this tradition in our lives. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. We are going to talk about a famous Quranic reciter. Then we're going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter, and then brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Brother Hamed Shakir Nejad. He is an Iranian Qari who was born in Mashhad, the city where the shrine of Imam al-Ridha is located, in 1983. His father Mahmoud Shakir Nejad and his older brother Hamid Shakir Nejad are both profound Quran reciters, and they follow the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail.
but Hamed has invented his own new style, and he recited the Noble Quran so professionally that in case you don't recognize his voice, you can't distinguish that he is not an Egyptian reciter. He has recited the Noble Quran in the presence of Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, at least twice and at most three times a year, from when he was 8 years old. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verse 5 of Surah At-Tahrim, recited by Brother Hamed Shakir Nejad. Let's enjoy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عسى ربه إن طلقكن أن يبدله أزواجا خيرا
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah At-Tahrim, verse 5, recited by Brother Hamed Shakir Nejad. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this recitation by Brother Hamed Shakir Nejad was in the riwayah of the Warsh An-Nafi', which is the riwayah which is mostly used by Egyptians, okay, and some countries in North Africa. And few Iranian reciters use this riwayah because it's really difficult to know the differences between Hafs and the Warsh. And those who want to use this riwayah, they have to be masters of Warsh An-Nafi'. They have to know all the differences, the rules of Tajweed, as well as the different ways that the words are pronounced as compared to Hafs. For example, in this verse we have yubaddilahu instead of yubaddilahu. Warsh says yubaddilahu, while Hafs says yubaddilahu. Okay, so there's a big difference. It kind of sounds the same, you know? If you say yubadilahu, yubadilahu, if you say quickly, and that is why there is a difference of opinion as to how this word should be pronounced.
How about the meaning?
The meaning is almost the same. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because it's of the same root word.
Mm-hmm.
The root word is the same.
Badal.
Yes. It means substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Allah will, instead of those wives of you, He will substitute or replace them with other wives. Okay? This is the meaning. And now let's go over the differences of warsh. Asa. He didn't say asa. He said asa, which is imala, the sughra, imala to sughra, the lesser imala. It means that the fatha or the alif ul mad is inclined to kasra.
And why such a thing occur?
In warsh, certain alifs and alif ul mads, they have to be pronounced with imala, and there is probably no reason. Okay, mostly it's whenever there is a ya with an alif, with a small alif on top of it. This is most of the time that's when imala takes place. Of course, there are other conditions for imala as well. This is one of them. Asa rabbuhu, we have tafkhim of ra. So most of the rules of tajweed are the same, but there are some differences. For example, rabbuhu is the same as hafs. There's no difference. Intallaqakunna, which is actually tallaqakunna in warsh. Brother Hamid Shakir Najat says tallaqakunna. The lam is pronounced with taghlil. Why is that? Because it is preceded by a letter with isti'la.
Okay.
That's a rule of warsh.
Mm-hmm.
Salah, walamu.
Why in hafs and nafa?
We don't have this
kind of...
We don't
have such a thing.
Yeah, we don't have such a thing. In
the only lam which is pronounced with taghlid is...
The lam of the majestic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Tallaqakunna. And yubadilahu, just like we said.
We talked about it before.
Yes, that's a difference. Azwajan khayra. Here we have, first let's talk about the ilhar, which is the same as hafs.
Mm-hmm.
We have ilhar of nun sakina because there is a letter of the throat after the tanween.
That is kha.
Which is kha. So you have to pronounce the noon of the tanween completely,
mm-hmm.
fully, okay, from the original place of articulation of noon. Of course, by original place of articulation of noon, we mean we have to pronounce the noon from its own place of articulation. It's not like an ikhfa where you
it's not gonna
get
change,
rid of
actually.
It. Yes, from the place of articulation which it's meant to be pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says khayra, khayram minkun. This is because the ra is preceded by a ya sakina, by a madulin. This is again a rule of warsh an nafi, which we don't have in hafs. In hafs we only have the word khayra. If you stop on this word, the ra would be pronounced with tarqiq. A ra sakina preceded by a ya sakina in hafs would be pronounced with tarqiq only if you stop on the ra.
But
if
here,
you don't,
mm-hmm.
if you, for example, khayrun, if you don't stop, the ra is still pronounced with tarqiq. But in warsh, it becomes khayrun, khayrun, khayren. So mm-hmm. we have tarqiq of ra. Another difference is muminat. Mu'minat becomes mu'minat in warsh without the nabra.
Of Hamza.
We only have like a tasheel of the Hamza.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak.
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about the part where Imam alayhi salam says, Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. O Allah, verily I seek nearness to you through remembrance of you. In the previous program, we talked about in the world we're living in, these ruins of remoteness from the Almighty Allah. And we are like prisoners that have to release ourselves from the material belongings and be adorned with the divine ethics and accompany the prophets, the truthful ones, and the martyrs as the Almighty Allah says. Now, the Holy Quran comments on this divine migration from all the evil to all the goodness. The Holy Quran, in chapter Nisa, in the 100th verse, says, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً. Whosoever migrates for the cause of Allah will find much refuge and abundance in the earth. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And whosoever forsakes his home, a fugitive unto Allah and His Messenger, ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتِ, and then death overtakes him, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ عَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. His reward is then incumbent upon Allah, and Allah is ever forgiving, the merciful. So, This verse is generally talking about the trip we have to prepare ourselves for. Now, this part, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I seek nearness to you through remembrance of you. The researchers believe that the phrase through your remembrance, this word through has a contributing meaning. So the sentence means, O Allah, I seek nearness to you by means of your remembrance. Now, for the word remembrance, three meanings are mentioned for this word. The first meaning is sincere attention to Allah. Some believe that it means the Holy Quran itself, and some believe that remembrance, or dhikr, means the Prophet and his household.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
Let's talk about the first meaning, that sincere attention to the Almighty. In this meaning, in this sense, remembrance of Allah is contrary to negligence. A person negligent of his Creator is not afraid of wasting his lifetime, committing unlawful deeds, or violating others' rights and being deprived of worship, and he will continue gaining unlawful wealth, and he will get entangled in misfortunes. A person who remembers Allah, on the other hand, is quite aware that his Lord is the one who has sent the prophets. His Lord has revealed the heavenly books for guiding his servants, because he has been their creator, and his Lord has set the paradise for virtues and hell for vices. Such a person, such a servant, spends his life in worshipping Allah. He will continue serving other people, and he will avoid the unlawful things. At least he will try to do so. He will try to observe people's rights. He will try to be pious. He will try and do his best to acquire knowledge and obtain sustenance lawfully. And he will try to solve the problems of the believing brothers. He will try to fulfill their needs and help the poor. And in all his endeavors, he only seeks Allah's content. So, this remembrance of Allah is an eternal tendency. This remembrance, this sincere attention, gives human the incentive to do virtues, to achieve Almighty Allah's nearness, and taste that sweetness of worshipping the Creator, worshipping the Almighty God and serving His people. This is what remembrance gives us. This change of attitude and approach towards all the activities and deeds of this world. We'll continue talking about this part of Supplication Kumail in the next program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the memory of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. And I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The topic today on the program is polarization. And with me to discuss this particular topic is Dr. Matty Torabi. Salam, sir, and welcome to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. This was a topic we were speaking about in the last session. And it was a very important topic because you were pointing out the fact that, you know, we as Muslims and believers, even our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he, at the advent of Islam, had enemies. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing things for God, when you're struggling for principle, you're bound to have people who are against you.
Right.
And I think you give us, you know, at least a pretty big background on the stand of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, because this is what the program is dedicated to. And of course, Imam Khomeini also had that effect because of the fact that he came out of the living teachings of the Holy Ahlul Bayt, and of course, he had supporters and he had enemies. So I leave the stage entirely to yourself, sir, to Thank you.
Expand.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, the point we were making in the last program was that some referenced and mentioned that very good book, an excellent book written by Shahid Mutahhari about the polarization.
That's correct, yeah, the polarization of Imam Ali, that's right.
Right, where he talks about how the personality of Imam Ali was a personality that attracted immensely and also repulsed immensely. And we said that that's actually also what happened with the Prophet in a different manner, in the sense that he, because he was Rahmatullah Alameen, he couldn't maybe say certain things in a way with that directness, or do certain things with that kind of directness that Imam Ali alayhi salam was doing. But basically, that the Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam were a team.
Yes.
That complemented each other in many ways.
Yes.
Obviously, the Prophet, peace be upon him, being the boss and being the Prophet and the one that receives the revelation and is the one that is the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that sense. So I'm not saying team as equals.
No.
They're not a team of equals.
No.
The Prophet is...
The Prophet.
The Prophet and way above, you know, the Imam. But it was the combination of the two that was able to, you know, bring Islam.
Yes.
And... In a sense, the way that Allah has planned it is that Imam Ali took over those functions, or many of those functions, that a prophet might have to do, but which might repulse some people from the prophet. Because the point of the prophet is to attract.
Yes.
More than to repulse. It doesn't mean that they don't repulse.
No, but it was more to attract.
Right. Because there is a natural repulsion of people who don't want to accept truth.
Gotcha.
This has nothing to do with the personality of the person.
No.
If any a person with any personality is standing up for truth, there are going to be people who are repulsed by that, or who will be his enemies.
His enemies, yes.
Because that's the nature of truth.
Yes.
Truth is the thing that distinguishes itself.
That's right.
From other things. This is the nature of truth.
Well, I mean, there's an Arabic saying for this kind of thing. It says truth is bitter.
Right. Exactly. It's in English as well. We have the bitter truth, whatever.
Exactly.
It's the thing that differentiates.
Sheets.
Distinguish in the sense of distinguishing from this from that.
Exactly.
This is, you know, you get to a point where this is no longer the case.
Mm.
The facts no longer are this.
Yes.
These are the facts.
Yes.
Okay? So this is going to cause problems for some people.
It will.
So, we discussed Imam Khomeini's personality as a polarizing figure in that context. In the sense of, and let's be very clear, and repeat what we're saying, that as a fully immersed, excellent student of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Imam Ali alayhi salam,
yes,
he is a reflection of the personality of his guides and teachers.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Leaders.
Exactly.
He is like Imam Ali, mm, alayhi salam.
Mm.
So, as Imam Ali, his personality was one that attracted many and repulsed many.
Exactly.
Exactly like his mullah. Exactly like his imam.
Exactly.
Okay? So, this is what we were saying in terms of this characteristic of, and we also said, and this is important to point out, that anyone who really is a mu'min is going to have aspects of this in their character, characteristic.
They certainly will.
Right?
They certainly
in their
will.
Personality. Or it's going to have aspects of this.
Mm.
Some more, some less. Mm. You cannot be a mu'min and not have enemies.
Exactly.
Let's be very clear about that. You cannot be a mu'min